The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning.
Fonte, you didn't know this, but I foresee the future.
Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, hello there. It is the morning roast, but it is not Bonte Hill, nor is it Joe Shasky, nor is it Joe Spadoni. We are going down to the very, very bottom of the morning roast bench. Sam Lubman is your driver today. Alongside me is Jake Hutchinson. And between
I like
the
it
two
down
of
here
us,
in the bottom of the barrel.
Oh, it's great. It's very warm at the bottom of the barrel. People don't know that. But between Jake and I, this is probably the best haired radio show I would say ever in history. I don't think there is a show out there that can compete with you and I when it comes to hair.
I think that's a factual statement that cannot be disproven.
The amount of money that is spent on conditioner in this room is, Jay, do you spend a lot of money on your hair care?
Leave-in conditioner.
Okay.
You know? It's nice.
Okay, that's it.
I don't spend much else. I don't need to put...
Because it's disgusting how much money I spend.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I ballpark it at about $140 for all my hair products. Oh, yeah.
I'm not hitting that level.
It is ridiculous. I got, your conditioners, you got the curl creams, you got my hydration moisturizer, stuff like that. I take it way too far. It is absolutely... I spend more money on my hair than my girlfriend does on her hair.
And how does she feel about that?
Oh, she thinks my hair is beautiful. So,
well,
you know,
that's good.
That's all
important.
That matters. As long as the lovely Allie likes it, that's good enough for me. So, again, it's Sam Lubman, Jake Hutchinson here on the Morning Roast, on Christmas Eve on the Morning Roast. Want to hear from all of our roasters out there. We've heard from some great callers already. We just talked to Brian Baldinger last segment. But like I said, it is Christmas Eve. And as Buddy the Elf once said, the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. So, if you have a Christmas carol that you want to sing for us, call in and sing it. There is no judgment here on the Morning Roast.
There is some judgment.
Might be some judgment from Jake there a little bit, but I won't judge you. I'll sing along with you. If you tell me the song, I'll sing along with you as best as I can. We had Johnny Modesto with a great 49ers carol to the tune of Jingle Bells there. That was one of the better songs we've ever had. So first things first, got to get some reads here so we can pay our bills. Shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And don't miss the kickoff show next Monday night. I believe that's the 30th. With Willard and Dibbs, that's Mark Willard and Dan Dibley, for those who are not familiar with our lingo here at 95.7 The Game. They'll be live 2 hours before the start of Monday night's game between the 49ers and the Lions. Join us at the Hilton in Santa Clara for delicious food, great drinks, and the best pregame show in the Bay Area. Joe Spadoni might disagree. Presented by Habas Law. When you've been wronged, Habas Law will fight to make it right. Call 1-800-INJURED or visit HabasLaw.com. Again, 888-957-9570 is the number. We want to hear from all the callers out there. We want to hear from the roasters. What have we learned about the 49ers this season? Brock Purdy was asked that after the loss on Sunday. Here is what Brock had to say about that.
Man, it's sort of tough. You know, we'll really see after the season just the theme of every game and all that kind of stuff, where we need to be better and stuff. But just off the top of my head, it's just been, not clean football across the board. You know, I just feel like we're hurting ourselves offensively. And then when the defense gets a stop, like, we got to go and capitalize. Last year, we did that really well, last couple years. And we played team football for four quarters, and I just felt like we were pretty dominant. So this year, it's just been hit or miss, and the momentum as a whole team and a unit has just been, you know, okay. But, and that's a lot on me for, you know, our offense. Like, I got to get our guys going and be on top of things. And so definitely learning that, you know, more than anything, it's like we have a really good team and we have good players and a lot of the core guys from obviously what we've done the last couple of years. And so that's what hurts, is you have those kind of guys and culture here. You know, we just haven't been able to get it done in some games.
So a lot of sloppy, a lot of lack of execution, a lot of Brock taking ownership for everything. Jake, what do you make of Brock kind of pointing out all these issues that the Niners are having? But it's also the fact that he's taking ownership for it. You know, Steven Rizzotto, he was telling us yesterday, you know, he cuts a lot of these Niner games, and he's noticed a pattern with Brock, and that he loves saying, you know, I have to take ownership for that. It starts with me, or some variation of it. And that's always great to hear from, in a sense. You know, I remember when Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback, there was a lot of frustration from the fan base that he did not take accountability. Right now, there's a lot of frustration with this fan base that Kyle Shanahan does not necessarily take accountability or hold players accountable. Brock, it's almost like the other way around. It's almost like he's being too accountable for it. We just talked with Brian Baldinger here, and, you know, I asked him about the interceptions that Brock's thrown when he's getting hit. And it's a situation where there's not really much a quarterback could do in that situation, but you just got to take that lump there. So Brock Purdy's been such a hot topic all year because we expect that big payday to be coming there soon. But Jake, yeah, I'm rambling here. What's your reaction to Brock's lesson this year?
Yeah, I think the reality is, and he pointed to it a little bit, you know, trying to figure out exactly one theme, because it is hard to point exactly one thing out. There are a number of things that have gone wrong on all both sides of the ball. I was going to say just both. All sides of the ball. Special teams has been a nightmare, too. So all three phases have been disastrous in one way or another at key times, and usually they're at their worst in key times. Maybe that's the theme for this team, is that
crumble in the clutch.
Crumble, yeah. When it matters most, just absolutely fail in spectacular fashion. You know, when you have one penalty, why not tack another on? Why not tack on a key sack in a terrible situation? And I think Brock is sort of, he's taking ownership and also pointing to the fact that there is a lot to dissect. I think a lot of it's tactical, a lot of it's not so sexy to get into is a lot of the protections and the way they handle blitzes and do they have the right answers when teams throw press man at them. And that's stuff that they should be expecting, and they're not. I mean, I watched the tape of this last game, and a key situation, they threw a play that, you know, was clearly designed to only beat zone coverage, and they got man, and there was nobody open, and Purdy's just scrambling for his life. And that, to me, is on Kyle Shanahan, and Brock can check out of some of those things, but, you know, that's on the coach for the play call. So there's a lot of blame to be levied in many places, and I would say, if you are going to be the guy who's going to be the franchise quarterback, you would think this stuff just comes naturally. We saw with Jimmy at doesn't. We saw with Debo Samuel this year, a lot of the time, taking that ownership doesn't. It does help. It does help when you're going through a tough season and you have a guy that is a rock, that is steady, that can at least say, all right, I can and need to be better.
Yeah, and that's all very well said. And I think Brock, you know, I think Brock's also probably learning a few other things this year. First up, when it comes to the taking accountability thing, yeah, I do respect it a lot, but you know, when I was in college at the University of Miami, the Canes were coached by a guy named Al Golden, who is coaching and who cares right now. But one thing that Al Golden would say, and Al Golden was very mediocre, miserable time, his tenure at Miami. Granted, it did start under the shadow of one of the biggest, you know, college football scandals ever, in the Nevin Shapiro scandal that brought Miami to the brink of the death penalty. If you ask some, Miami was 2 years under sanctions, lost 2 years of postseason eligibility. So he did arrive under some rough circumstances, but those are some mediocre teams. And he would say, after all these losses, you know, it starts with me. It begins with me. I take full accountability. You can only say that so many times before the message is lost. And you just sound like the Charlie Brown's adults, you know, wah, 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 wah. And no one cares anymore that you're taking accountability, because after a while, accountability only goes so far. You have to start taking action to change things around. And I think one thing that Brock Purdy is learning this year is that this game is not as easy as the first calendar year of his career made it seem. You know, from when he took over against the Miami Dolphins all the way to that, you know, the fateful a year ago tomorrow, I call it the Christmas Night Massacre, the four pick game against the Baltimore Ravens. You know, that first full calendar year of Brock Purdy, it was magical. It was perfect. You know, there was, aside from that NFC title game, but Brock could do no wrong. The Ravens game, it was gross. He had a couple of okay games after that. He was okay against Washington, I believe, that next week. Then he sat that Rams game. The Packers game, it was rough in the first half, good in the second half. Lions game, same thing, rough in the first half. Leads that incredible comeback in the second half. And then if you were to make a list of all the things that went wrong for the 49ers in the Super Bowl, I think you're in the double digits before you even list Brock there. So,
yeah.
But Brock is learning that this is an incredibly hard and difficult league. And however easy it was for him at the beginning, it's a lot harder this year. There's adversity in this league. The NFL, it is the best laid plans of mice and men. It loves blowing these plans up. And Brock has learned this year that you got to be able to adjust when everything's falling apart around you. That is part of being a franchise quarterback. That is what separates elite quarterbacks from great quarterbacks from good quarterbacks. Now, I don't know if Brock will ever be in that elite tier of quarterbacks with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. No, he's not. I don't think that disqualifies him from being a Super Bowl contender quarterback, though. I think he showed last 2 years he could get you to that game. I firmly believe, only because there's no way to really disprove it otherwise, that if Brock's elbow does not get shattered by Hassan Reddick in that NFC title game, I think the Niners win that game.
Yeah.
And so Brock has shown that he can get you there when things are clicking around him. So many things aren't clicking around him this year, though. But where I feel Brock is set well for next year is he is very high IQ, very smart player. His greatest strength is between his ears. And I think the lessons he's taken from this year, he could apply it to next year. And he knows now, I know what a ship in rough waters looks like at 24 years old. So he can use what he's learned this year, how this season's gone, to grow mentally as a player. And hopefully if things are rough next year, he's a little bit more mature and able to kind of handle it better next year, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would say it'll be hard for the offensive line to get worse. I think there's no question that they have to address that. I think where you look at with Brock is, I go back to the tactical part of it, is man-to-man. And if you don't have receivers who can beat man-to-man, you need to scheme them open with pick plays and all that. And so they would have situations where Brock could not, there would either be a receiver not open, or if somebody was open, the offensive line would have a breakdown or not pick something up. If the offensive line did pick something up, there's nowhere to throw it. Mm-hmm. And on the rare occasions, you know, both of those worked. Sometimes he would start off on the right side, and by the time he came to the left, the receiver he's looking for is not open. And so all of that, combined with, you know, not having an offseason with Ayuk and Pearsall, and now you're moving Juwan Jennings to the X receiver spot, which is not his real spot. You've got Brock with a lot of things where he's not trusting the offensive line. He's not trusting the receivers to separate. Mm-hmm. So he's bailing on the pocket probably earlier and more than he should. And so he's scrambling. A lot of the times, he really does have to scramble. Sometimes he's scrambling earlier than he should. So his superpower is being able to see something, trust a receiver, is going to be where he's supposed to be, and throwing with high, high, high level anticipation into a window. That works really well against zone coverage. It's a little tougher against man coverage, especially when you don't know how a receiver is going to separate again. So you got this situation where Brock is just his superpower of being able to trust things and throw with anticipation. It's been limited by what teams have thrown against them, and part of that, a decent amount of it, is injuries. Part of it is on Shanahan. Part of it's on Brock. And a lot of it's on the offensive line and a lack of talent and a lack of speed, as Baldy talked about, at these wide receiver positions. And so there's just a lot of things going against them. I'm not absolving Brock of sin here, but I'm also saying there's a lot of things going against him. And
it's nuance.
Yeah, and so you'd like to see him overcome more of it, no question, before you go into an offseason where you're going to cut him a huge check. Right? You would want to feel...
He's going to get that payday.
He's going to get paid. And so you'd want to feel better about it. But at the same time, you know, he has learned a lot, you would hope. And you'd hope with an actual offseason with these guys, you know, healthy. Ayuk, we'll see what that timeline is. Yeah, that's a rough knee injury. But they've got time. They've got an offseason. to buy reinforcements on the offensive line and at least get back to being mediocre there, because being mediocre is something they can function with. Being where they are now is not an option.
One thing I thought that Baldy said was interesting, since we're talking about the offensive line, is he still believes in Trent Williams. And again, he's 37 years old. A part of me, I'm looking at Trent, and it's just like, I'm not sure how much I can rely on Trent. You know, and Baldy's saying, if you can get a full training camp and 14 starts from Trent next year, I'm buying into that. I would absolutely accept that. But we saw Trent sit out of camp this year. You know, you say, you know, veteran rest or whatever. He wanted to get a little bit more money. Trent better show up day one of training camp next year.
Oh, he will. He will. I don't blame Trent Williams one bit for handling that, because this was the offseason to do it.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to pay Purdy next offseason. They gave Christian McCaffrey his money, even though he had no obligation to do that. They guaranteed him the next, you know, 2 years, and then gave
hopefully
him like
that doesn't blow up in their face.
It's luckily it's short enough and it's not that much money where it doesn't matter too much, but they didn't have any obligation to do that. And so Trent's going, I have to get my money now. You know, we're coming off of this season that we played great. I'm 37 now,
next year.
About to be 37. So I actually don't blame him one bit for doing that, for guaranteeing his money when none of it was guaranteed. That said, like, you pay the consequences, and the 49ers did not pay him until it was kind of too late.
And it screwed up his whole season. I mean, he's huffing and puffing for air against the Jets. I thought he played pretty well against the Jets overall. But ever since then, it's just he's left so much to be desired there. And that's one of your rocks, because, you know, you mentioned, you know, with the play calling and Kyle Shanahan, when your offensive line is not trustworthy, it kneecaps what you're able to call offensively. It takes away large chunks of your playbook to where, no, now you can't do this play, you can't do that play, you can't get this guy involved now because he can't block for that play. And it just screws everything up. And it's almost a situation where Brock is kind of forced to play with one arm tied behind his back, metaphorically speaking, because when you don't have that full complement of plays you can work with, when you don't have the full complement of weapons that you know how to win with, like, it's that's where I really kind of look at the injuries and losing Brandon Ayuk. I know he got to a slow start this season. My guess is he was going to shake that rust off.
He was.
He was looking a lot better against the Patriots. I thought it was finally like, all right, he's ready to go. We had Herm Edwards on this show a couple times, and he was adamant. Give Brandon Ayuk a couple games, he'll be ready to go. And it was looking that way because he was their best stretch the field option. His depth of target last year is about 13, just under 14 yards per target. For context, this year, Juwan Jennings is you know, among receivers. So I'm excluding George Kittle in this little exercise here. Juwan Jennings' average depth of target is about 10 yards.
Right.
So basically what it's saying is, like, Juwan Jennings is probably your best deep threat right now. That's not a deep threat. Brandon Ayuk was your best ability to stretch the defense, gain separation there downfield. And Brock, I mean, he's trying to drive the ball. He's had issues at times. I think there's a shoulder injury that he's not saying anything about right now. But we just had Baldy on. He said, you know, he was driving the ball well against Miami. The problem is he's just, when he's able to drive the ball, there's just no real good receiving options unless you got Debo after the catch, where, you know, Debo finally waking up in a game that doesn't matter. That kind of is unfortunate. But, you know, that's where I kind of, again, I'm not trying to absolve Brock from sin. Brock's had a lot of issues this year, a lot of learning experiences. I'm in no way souring on Brock for the future, but this has shown that, you know, when things get messy, Brock has had to learn how to clean things up a little bit.
Yeah, and he missed some opportunities. I think you go back, there's like that third drive where they had a, I think he threw one, it was that near pick to Patrick Taylor Jr. If you rewatch that play, the 49ers have a great design where they put a safety in conflict, and they have basically Kittle with like a crosser over the middle, and then they have Kyle Juszczyk run like a slug-o and go deep down the field. And so basically the safety has to either pick Kittle or Juice. And so you're going to have a big completion if you throw to either one of those guys. And Purdy, he took the check down to Patrick Taylor Jr. Because if that was McCaffrey, sure, you take the little Texas route to your running back. But instead, he takes it. It's nearly an interception, which is not on Purdy, but he didn't take the big shot, which is something that I think when he's feeling confident and he's seeing things right, he is taking. So there's blame to be had there, but I think it goes down to a deeper issue of the offense being just dysfunctional in a number of ways.
That is Jake Hutchinson. I am Sam Lubman. This is the Morning Roast. It is Christmas Eve, and we have callers that we have to talk to. We're going to go out to Sacramento. Nico out in Sac. I'm kind of curious, Nico. There's two games left in the season. What is this team even playing for?
Well, first off, let me just say shout out to you guys for being here on Christmas Eve, man. You got all the working people out here listening to you.
I appreciate
you. Shout out to anybody. I appreciate you guys, man. And shout out to anybody that made the fantasy football championship. I'm in both my leagues.
Oh,
I made the
rub it in, why don't you?
Same here, brother.
Yeah,
same here. Right,
baby,
there with you.
That's what I'm here for. Shout out to my boy who I'm playing in both leagues. My boy Rye Guy, aka the Big Bosky. We made it, so we're about to split that money.
I'm rooting for you, Nico.
You feel me?
Oh, you're doing a split pot?
Yeah, we're doing a split pot in both leagues.
Yeah, gotta go winner take all, man. This is for the big money here.
Nah, we trying to both eat for Christmas.
Right,
I respect it.
All right.
Yeah.
What do you got on the Niners, Nico?
Real talk though. I mean, I want to see him play with pride, man. I mean, they ain't got nothing else to play for, so they got to go out there and play with pride. You know. End the season on a winning note. Don't take no for an answer. Go out there and ball out, because that's the only thing you got left. I mean, it's hard for a team to go out there when you know you're not making playoffs and whatnot, but you've got to go out there with pride for yourself. You know what I'm saying? And that's what Debo, I felt, did last week. You know, he came out there with pride and he wanted to ball out. And the whole team needs to have that same intensity. You know, even on Brock Purdy, everyone, you know, talking about all this money he's about to make and this and that, this and that. Who cares about checking pockets when you really need to check your own pocket and stay inside that thing and throw the ball? Be real. Go out there with some pride and win. Who cares about a draft pick? You're not here for a draft pick. That's someone else trying to take your job.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you caring about a draft pick? So go out there and ball out and be prideful about it. I love
what
y'all.
You're saying, Nico.
Hey, I'm
Nico,
not a real
really
roaster, but you know what I'm saying? Nico, it's Sacramento out here, baby.
Hey, Nico, what a Christmas movie you watching tonight?
Christmas movie? I mess with Elf. Elf is solid.
Oh, I love Elf.
But really, I like them scary ones like Jack Frost or Black Christmas, man. Throw that thing on for me.
Awesome. All right, that is Nico and Sack. Thank you for calling in, Nico. We're going to pick this conversation up on the other side. What have we learned about the 49ers this year? One thing we learned is that when you take away Brock's weapons, he loses his superpowers. That's something I think you can say about a lot of quarterbacks. Don and Concord, you're one of my favorites. I want to get to you, but we're going to get to you on the other side. Oh, man, hopefully Cal football can have a better year next year. Let's keep him on hold, Steven. We'll get him on the other side. And that is all brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport. More of your calls, more of your Niner takes, all of that on the other side.